Welcome to Tea Time,
Thank
Rondellian.
you.
I'm so
Thank you very
happy you're
much.
here because you're the closest thing to a father-in-law I've ever had.
Wow.
That's
Wow.
dark. It's real dark.
Well, it's
That
true.
is
It's
heavy.
true. I'm just calling
That
a
is.
spade.
Wait, who are you
Dark.
calling a spade? What's happening?
I'm calling a.
Damn it.
That's just a
Damn
fact. It's
it.
just a fact. You are my wife's TV dad.
Yeah.
Therefore, you are my TV
He's
father-in-law.
been my TV dad since I was 15 years old. Rondell Sheridan has
Yeah.
been
I
the
thought I thought you
classic.
were 14 when we started the show.
Nobody knows that
Yeah.
episode. But
That's the
Rondell
pilot.
Sheridan is the quintessential father for television, from
You are.
Nickelodeon to Disney, the longest running father on Disney Channel, and the most best dressed man I've ever met.
Second
Wow.
longest character on Disney. Not just dad.
Second longest character.
On Disney.
Who's the first?
You.
You're right.
Hilarious. She doesn't even know.
You're right.
Wait, Rondell, how does it feel to be such
Old?
an
Is you, yeah,
yeah,
you
how does it
really? I
feel to
would
be
slap
old?
you so hard.
How does it feel to be such an iconic TV dad?
I hate to bring up money, but
I will.
I would feel different about it if I had my estate with my polo ponies that I was on network television.
Not full of ponies.
Yes,
Got it,
not
got it,
polo
got it.
ponies. Do you get that from the girl that pretends like she's the
Yes,
Kardashians?
one of
Yeah,
them, yes, on the
when she
pony.
does the nails that have fallen off.
Excuse me.
She
Yeah,
she's
she's
back
so
now.
good.
She's back
Oh,
now.
good, I'm
Yeah,
glad,
I saw
fine.
one. She's so
She's so
funny.
funny.
Anyway, it's weird because I grew up with, you won't know this, but I grew up with Captain Kangaroo, with all those Sesame Street characters and other,
Elmo.
yeah, other people who I would think, oh, those were my childhood growing up with. So when I still remember the first time somebody walked up to me and said, "You were my childhood," and I go, "Who the hell are you talking to? Who your mama? I don't owe you no money." And
Exactly.
I went, "Oh, I'm that." Yeah. So
You know, you're also a comedian that travels the world and makes people laugh. Like a Bob Saget, do you feel like your comedy had to change because of the family dynamic that you played on TV?
No, but it was a burden I didn't want to take. I wish that my act was more like Bob Saget than, you know me,
Yeah.
I curse like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, but the problem was the show didn't represent my act. It's like Damon Wayans can do a family show, even though you know Damon Wayans' act. Martin Lawrence could do a family show, even though you know Martin Lawrence's act. I didn't have that that venue, that place where I nationally of doing clubs, because I was also doing cruise ships.
That's fair.
And doing cruise ships, I had to do that clean thing, and it was like, that's not really who I am in clubs. And I'm not dirty in clubs, but I just talk the
You're
way
dirty.
I talk the way an
Yeah.
adult talks.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
now it's great because my audience now is 26, 27 and up. So, and normally I'll walk on stage and I can tell by the applause if there's a ton of That's What Raising
I love
Fan, I
that.
go, I'm gonna fuck your evening up.
Let's just
Strap in.
start there.
Yeah, let's
You
strap in.
once said that one of your guilty pleasures is watching rom-coms.
Yes, it is.
And I
Yeah.
want to know, what are your favorite rom-coms?
My favorite one is the Will Smith and the Hispanic girl.
Eva Mendes,
Yeah,
Hitch.
yeah. I think that is just.
You're so
Does
weird.
that bring you back to an episode of That's So Raven?
Uh-oh.
Connect it. Hitch.
Will Smith. Was she on our show?
No.
No. Do you remember how Will Smith has an anaphylactic reaction to
Oh,
the and swells
yes!
just like Raven does in the episode with you guys, the mushrooms?
Yes. That's
Yeah.
hilarious.
You
That's
guys, I'm so
hilarious.
happy that I knew That's So
Yeah.
Raven trivia that you didn't know.
I knew it, but I didn't put
You didn't
three and
connect the
four
dots.
together
I
and get
connected the dots,
12.
and that
I
wasn't really
appreciate that.
trivia,
That
but
was
you're
good.
welcome. I think 3 times 4 is 12. Is that true? Or is that 15?
No,
Take
it's
that out.
12. Set school. What was it like watching Raven go to set school, Rondell?
I have no idea because they would just disappear into a room and then that would be it. The first couple years on That's a Raven, I felt like I was the dad who had custody of the child for the weekend because I would only see you at certain points. It
Yeah.
was like just hang out and then you'd go somewhere and
I would
then
go somewhere.
come back.
We had a lot of iterations of the Raven Baxter and
Victor.
Victor Baxter character. We had That's So Raven version where you were married. Then you had the version where you weren't married. but we still like talked about Miss Takiya, who mm-hmm. played my mother. And then you went on to do Cory in the House. Mm-hmm. When they asked you to do Cory in the House, was there any hesitation for you just knowing that it would keep you in the bubble of that? Or did you love the fact that you were able to continue such an iconic
character? Oh, you know, I was not aware of what was about. I couldn't see the future.
Are you serious?
I couldn't see the future.
Damn,
future.
Dad?
Yeah, no, that's on your mama's side. That ain't my side.
Oh my God, this is so cute. it's a family reunion.
That was the second time that it started a thing for me. Mm. And the thing is, I've had three times in my life where my agent has called and said, are you sitting down? Mm. And so now I have this reoccurring dream that my agent's going to call again and say, and there's been three different agents that have said, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
And so I have this reoccurring dream now that my agent's going to call and say, are you sitting down? And I'm going to say, I need to let you know something. Three times it's been news that's been incredible. Mm-hmm. Do not fuck this up. Do not call me and go, your car was stolen.
Yeah, exactly.
A plane crashed into your house. This better be some life-affirming information right now. I do remember the Cory in the House phone call when that was my manager, Rick, and he goes, are you sitting down? And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
What happened?
He goes, that's called trauma.
Disney calls. And it was followed by Disney calls. And I go, what do they know? and he goes, yeah, they want to do a thing with you and Kyle. And I go, okay. But I later found out if I had said no. Do you know if I'd said no, what the show would have been?
Please tell me.
I think it would have been better.
No way. What are you talking about?
It was with Kyle and
Bobby J.
See?
I don't think that would have been better. I think that would have been on a different network. Mm. Bobby J and Kyle, to me, perfect combination, great show for like a Cartoon Network live action.
It would have been Keenan and Kel.
It would have been Keenan. Yeah.
It would have been Keenan and Kel. But those two together,
amazing.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that was one of my favorite combinations.
People should have seen that show though.
They should have seen
that show. But that's how much I love that the two. I still remember that. You remember that day when we're. I don't know if they called us down, but the heads up, it said, look. So they had a conversation with Bobby J.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They had a conversation with Bobby J, and they go, look, you got to stay on book. You got to stop doing all this stuff, all this ad-libbing and stuff. You got to do that. And then it was the cowboy episode.
Oh, my God.
And so we had that, and he was like, yeah, okay. And so they filmed the episode, and there's a scene in which Bobby just goes off. And I remember looking at you going, that little motherfucker is funny.
He's funny.
Yeah, just let him do it. We'll figure it out. Just let him do what he does.
There was something magical about TSR, the guest stars that we had, that literally you could go through a roster and there are massive megastars that actually graced our stages before they became. And I think that is indicative of a really...
Tiffany Haddish. Remember
Tiffany
that?
Haddish.
I don't remember that at all. You told me about that. Yeah. I don't remember Tiffany.
It's a big deal.
We had all kinds of people, but...
Yeah. My biggest remembrance was Macy Gray.
I saw her at the airport the other day. She was like, she didn't remember me for Adam. I was like, you were on the show.
You were on my show.
But mine was Touched by an Angel.
Oh.
Della Reese.
Oh, Della Reese was great. I did it like 2 years afterwards. I did Touched by an Angel. And she was just...
Who was she on TSR?
She was like...
She was a guest star.
She was a... It's when I had the restaurant and we were doing a jazz night or a blues night on. Mm-hmm. And so she was performing there.
Do you have a favorite memory or moment on the TSR set or the Raven's Home set?
I remember when you called me to tell me you were going to be emancipated.
Ooh. I don't remember that, Rondell.
Yeah, I was in a car. I was going to some friend's house for Thanksgiving. I said, hey, what's going on, girl? And you go, can you talk? And I go, yeah. And I could tell by your voice, and I pulled over. However you said it, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I need to know if you're going to be with me. And I went.
Oh, yeah.
And I went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go, hell yeah. I go, you got my 100%. I was impressed that you called me to you didn't need to. You could have just walked on set that day.
I needed success. I needed to successfully do that transition. I'm writing a memoir. I don't know if I told you.
You did.
But I'm writing it.
Everybody. Yeah, that's how you begin.
You don't remember that you sent out a group mass text to everyone in your phone? Hey, it's Raven. I'm writing a memoir, so I'll be unavailable.
Yeah. She's at the deli, number 17. How you doing? I'm writing a memoir.
Literally.
I'm saying that because I can't say a lot of what I'm about to say because it's going to be in the book. But it was really, really important to me.
It's called a subtle tease.
Yeah. It was really, really important to me to have adults that knew what I was going through support me in that very hard decision at the time and the other one. And you, like I said, have always been a staple on set for me. And after that, offset as well.
The other one was totally when you let him know that you were marrying me, right?
Totally, yeah, for sure. That was obviously the second one.
Rondell, I do remember that call, though, you guys. No jokes.
When I called Rondell and told him,
and I also remember when you called Rondell about like season 3 of Raven's Home.
Yeah,
and you busy? You going anywhere?
Oh yeah, no, that was. I was looking for a house and getting ready to get in the car with my real estate agent, and I go, hey, oh, it's Raven. And I go, hello? And she go, what you doing? That's how it began. What you doing? Where you living? You still acting?
Exactly.
Like, wait, what is happening?
Oh, my God.
And then there was no goodbye. It was just like, so you still in L.A. and you still acting. Yeah.
Bye.
Click.
Literally.
And so my real estate agent go, what was that? I go, I don't know. I got a drive-by phone call.
That is classic. Raven used to do that in the early days of us dating.
Listen.
She would just call me and be like, hey, what's up? I'm like, oh, not much. Click. I'm like, what? She just wants to see your face for 30 seconds.
I don't like saying goodbye. You said I'm going to have to be in your life forever. Therefore, there is never going to be a goodbye unless there is an actual goodbye.
I don't say goodbye at parties. Nice, I just dip.
You just got
to
go.
Well, no, I have to say goodbye to the host.
That's fair.
I always say goodbye to the host. Yes. I thank them, especially if somebody brought me to someone's party. I say, hey, I just want to say thank you. And then I dip.
So what do you think of Orlando Brown?
You know what? This is the thing that I say all the time to people, because they'll bring up other people. I say, how would you be if you were 14 and I gave you an obscene amount of money that you were the father of your house and you had no supervision? How would you turn out?
Raven?
You're either going to be... No, think about it.
I'm the daddy now.
You're either going to be home alone, where you're ordering food and taking care of yourself at home, or you're not at home at all and you're out. There's no, I can't imagine myself.
You know what I always say to people when they ask me, I go, I know that Orlando. That Orlando that we see right now is he was that way on set with a couple of restraints because he knew he couldn't lose his job. The restraints came off and he went crazy.
Yeah.
But he is one of the most talented young men of our generation that really just funny. Took a little too much.
We had a conversation, I don't know what year it was, with Raven, and I said, when this show is over, I go, you're going to be the big star. And I go, you know it's going to be number 2. And we both said,
Orlando.
He was the guy. He had all of the tools.
The last season, I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Because we kind of saw the decline then. Things were not really working so well, and there was a lot of issues. And, you know, again...
You guys knew more of that than I did.
Yes.
Because it's just...
Because as he got older, you know, stuff was going on between him and Annalisa that I wasn't involved with. So I always bring that up. And yes, he, you know, talks crazy about me, and people always wonder why I never say anything. It's because I don't need to stoop that low, because I've known him since I was 14. I am almost 40, and I don't have to do that to be popular. Yeah. He's using that as a shtick.
But you could also make a phone call, and just your phone call is just like, why are you doing this?
I don't have
the energy.
That,
though. I think he really wants that.
No. But just to check him on it. You can keep doing what you're doing.
That's true. My mama wants me to do that.
Yeah, but you keep doing what you're doing. Just let
me know. You know what? You call him. I call his mama.
He would see your phone number, though, and be like, cameras up, and answer with you on live.
On speakerphone.
Literally. Yeah. And then it would be. Yeah. But you know, you and Orlando have something in common. You guys both have tattoos. And you recently got a new tattoo.
No. I recently got a tattoo.
One.
Only tattoo I've ever had. Okay. I have a thing on my phone I've been collecting for 10 years of what I would do, what I would get for a tattoo. And the reason I have this list is, I've told this story a bazillion times, maybe 20 years ago, I was working on a cruise ship and there was an acapella group and I became friends with one of the guys in it because we both wrote scripts. Mm-hmm. And every day we would write and he was tatted up. He had tons of tats. And so one day he said, hey, Bill, who's in his group, I forgot the guy's name, but we'll call him Bill. He goes, Bill's got a tattoo. Go ask him what the tattoo is. Now, they're this acapella group, and it's four of them, and they're like Boys to Men. The harmony just come out. These guys can just sing and all kind of style.
They have perfect pitch.
Yes, they're just incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah.
So I go, hey, Bill, I hear you have a tattoo. And right here, he had a music staff.
Nice.
With all the notes on there. And he probably had...
To what song?
15. Hold your horses.
Sorry.
To 15 notes on it. It was done beautifully there. And I go, man, that's incredible. I go, what song is it? And he makes this face. And I go, no. No, 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 no. This is your first tattoo. You're an incredible musician. You have staff there. And you just randomly put notes on your arm? I was like, how?
He must have been high.
How could you do? Man, if that was me, I would have said, that's my mom's favorite song.
Yeah, Mark Rodanoff.
It would be a song in which musicians would go, oh, hey, that's Ribbon in the Sky. Yeah. Oh, hey, that's that. And I go, you gave no thought to this whatsoever. So at that point, I went, if I ever get a tattoo, I'm going to start collecting a list.
That's fair.
A list of that. And so my tattoo is however.
...
However.
It's not got it.
No. Bring that up because I will tell you that.
I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, bring it up because, yeah, I was very embarrassed when that happened. And you notice I don't say it anymore.
But you know what? I do now. Sorry, continue.
If I knew say less, I would have said, but hilarious. Say less to me is rude.
It is rude. We come from a generation where saying less.
It wasn't rude. It just sounds rude.
It is rude for us. It's not rude for the new generation. Because if we said that back in the day, we would got slapped.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I thought my got it.
Why do you have however? Explain got it though.
Okay, so when we were at work on Raven's home, he would get...
They roasted me one day. Let me tell you. So Isaac started it. And I was mad. For like 4 seconds, I was really mad. And I go, my head went, why are you mad? They're roasting you. You've roasted everybody there.
You are roaster.
And I go, oh, yeah, shoes on the other foot. Slow your roll. Take this roasting. And it was good. It was good. And I was no longer mad. But in that moment, I'm like, yo, motherfucker, you can't.
For context, babes.
Okay, so we're working. And sometimes when we get notes, especially you and I and people who have been in the industry, we know what the note is before they finish the sentence.
Yeah.
And one of Rondell's things. But
I only had it for like a year and a half. It's just why I would say
it was only a year and a half?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was new.
It wasn't from the beginning of
it? It was a new
tick. It wasn't on That's So Raven. Raven's Home.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
It was a new tick.
Yeah. He would, in his lexicon, he would say, got it. Yeah. Before you finish the sentence. Yeah. But it happened so much that we were just like, Rondell, let us finish. Got it. Okay, so why do you have however tattooed on your wrist? And so why is it there?
It's a Rondell story.
Okay.
Just so you're prepared.
Wait for it 5 minutes to 10 minutes later.
Everyone at home watching this, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Tell us.
So I have however on my, it's upside down, but yeah, you can see it, whatever.
You should get whatever on your other wrist.
No.
Whatever and however.
Yeah. One word changed my life. This word is the word that changed my life. So my...
that's his tramp stamp area.
Yeah. Okay, so I was in college. I'm in the elevator with my buddy Sam and in our dorm. And he goes, hey, what are you going to do when you graduate? No, I said, what are you going to do when you graduate? And he goes, I just got accepted to NYU graduate school for theater. And I said, you know, I always thought about going to theater, doing something. And he goes, you should. I go, I don't know really much about it. And he said, I've got some brochures up in my dorm room if you want them. And I go, okay. So I go up to his dorm room. I have brochures and there's five of them. There's Lambda, London Academy of Dramatic Art. There's RADA, Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. There's Juilliard. There's NYU. And there was this small little school called Circle in the Square. Mm-hmm. I had already missed all of the audition dates for all of these schools, except for Circle in the Square. But Circle in the Square had auditions during spring break in New York City. So the next morning, 10 hours later, I get on the phone and I call the school. And the person answers and says, Circle and Square, may I help you? And I said, hi, my name is Rondell Sheridan. I sent in my application a couple of months ago, and I haven't heard anything back from you guys. I was wondering if you could let me know what's going on. And they go, sure, no worries. They put me on hold, and I'm just on the phone, just playing with the cord. Back then, phones had a cord that you could walk around.
And they were like pastel green and pastel yellow.
And you go like this dial.
Yeah. No, I think we might have had this.
No, Rondell, you needed this. Come on now.
Exactly. Operator, may I help you? So she comes back on, and she goes, how do you spell the name? I go, it's Sheridan, S-H-E-R-I-D-A-N. And she goes, you have any problems? She goes, yeah. I go, you know what? Check Rondell. Sometimes people think Rondell's my last name and Sheridan's first name. She goes, okay, great. And she comes back and she goes, Mr. Sheridan, I'm sorry, but I can't find your application. I go, no. And she goes, no, don't worry
about
it.
I'm going to put you.
Wait. I will put you on the phone with the dean. So the dean comes on.
The dean comes on and he goes,
Mr. Sheridan, we've been looking, but we can't find your application. I'm like, No. If they had an Academy Award for the best performance on a phone call,
that was you.
I get nominated. I definitely get nominated. I was like, no.
You're like my wife when we have to cancel flights because we choose not to go anymore.
This is you literally auditioning for
the
sport.
Yeah. So he's trying to cut me off, and I'm not giving him anything.
Don't do it.
I already got an apartment. I got room. So he goes, Mr. Sheridan. I go, yeah. He goes, can you make it to New York on April whatever? I'm looking at the date. I already know the date. And I go, April 15th? I go, what is this? What is this date?
Hilarious.
So he goes, well, we're having open auditions at the school. Can you make it? And I go, I guess I think that's my spring. Okay.
Wow, Rondell, I believe you right now.
But what about my letters of recommendation? He goes, I'm sure you can go back to the teachers and get your letters. And he goes, we'll send you out a new application. I go, okay, thank you. And hung up the phone. I go, okay, mission accomplished. Now I got to walk over to the theater school. And I go to the dean. I'm outside his office. He goes, Rondell, what are you doing here? And I go, I have an audition for this school. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not, called Circle and Square. It's like me going to the physics department and going, have you heard of this formula E equals MC squared? It's this thing. I think you might want to check into it. And he's looking at me going, you're in the theater? And I go, well, I'm thinking that I might audition for this. And he goes, you auditioned for one play and I never saw you again. I go, yeah, I didn't get the part. And he goes, it was for a 60-year-old Hispanic man. And I go, what's your point?
Oh my God, Rondell.
So he goes, what do you need? I go, I have to do a dramatic monologue and a comedic monologue and I don't know anything about anything. He goes, when's your audition? I go, in 2 months. He goes, every Friday at 5 o'clock. Mm. I want you to come to my office.
Oh, I love that.
And we will get your monologue to where
see
you
see what happens
to
when you lie, kids.
So you can actually get in. A circle and a square.
I got in a circle and a square.
And how does that connect to the tattoo, Rondell?
Okay. I know. So it's just a far. So, we've gone far.
No. So
we went to 1989.
Hold on. This all will make sense.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rondell.
So my aunt gave me $100 so I could take the train from Milwaukee to New York and back. I get into the train station. I walk all the way to the school, and they go, do you need some time? And I go, I'd never auditioned for anything. And they go, no, I'm good. I do my monologues. I got the thank you very much. And I go, okay. So that's a Friday. Monday, I take the train back to Milwaukee. Tuesday, I walk into my apartment, and my roommates had left my mail on the bed, and that letter is there. And it's thin.
Oh, is that a good thing?
No. I opened the letter, and it said, Dear Mr. Sheridan, every year, Circle and Square Theater School gets hundreds of applications. Unfortunately, we cannot accept all of them. That's as far as I got. And I folded it up and put it in the envelope. And I went and made lunch. And I came back, and the letter's sitting there. And I go, oh, put your big boy pants on. Might as well read the rest of this. And it said, Dear Mr. Sheridan, every year, we get hundreds of applications to Circle and Square Theater School. Unfortunately, we cannot accept all of them.
However,
we'd like to make an exception in your case.
Oh,
Do they know?
Have you ever told the story to the dean's face to let him know that you lied to get into school?
No, but I've told that. Well, that dean's no longer there.
That's better. Because he let you in.
Yes, but I have been at the school to tell people that's how I got into the school. That's
so, right. Yeah. Rondell, yes. Will you take that however and stick it into that circle and pull something out that might be a square and
or
tell
a rectangle.
Us what we're talking about today?
My wife is so good at it.
She's can C-time. I move this or
yeah, you can yes, move you it. Can.
Okay.
This is reachable.
Okay.
Barely.
There's only one piece of paper here.
No, there's lots of papers.
Hold on.
I want you to select the one.
This is my own piece of paper. This is my piece of paper. Okay.
Today on Tea Time, we are talking about...
Oh, it's upside down. Sorry. Success.
Circle and the square did not teach reading. Understood. How'd you get through all those lines?
Success. Yes. What is success?
And
depends. Who sets the barometer for success?
How do you define it for yourself?
No, but that depends on what you think success is.
How do you define it for yourself?
As an actor, I'm torn between financial and body of work.
Mm-hmm.
The body of work, I go, if you had told me when I got to New York and I was doing stand-up comedy and they go, this is all the things you're going to do, acting-wise, I go, are you shitting me?
Mm.
I go, wow.
Yeah, I've seen his first role in a 1980s film. I saw it. I would say the same thing. Really? I'm going to do this?
They hired this guy. I worked for free.
What was it?
Oh, my God, babes. I got to show you when we get home.
It's a first turn on.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's Porto, but it's not. It's a bad.
It's a really bad first.
It's a bad set, a 90s movie. It's horrible.
I'm going to be this famous? Okay.
Hey, when you get your first credit, I did a bunch of really bad movies, but it was like fine.
Miranda has her first credit. She plays the coroner in a
That's
show.
Actually not my first credit.
Oh, my God. Ooh.
My first credit was actually the Waltons family reunion. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Success.
I was like six.
Oh, my God.
She's a child star.
I'm a child star.
Yeah, you're pushing that.
And
but go ahead.
It was pretty good.
So.
Success.
Success. So you have your body of work. As an actor, would I love to have one of those million-dollar homes with that looks the ocean? Yeah, I would like to do that. But I'm also a stand-up comic, so I think I'm okay. I think people know who I am.
Do you feel? But is that success? Like for me, success means I said, listen, I have a goal, I worked towards that goal, and I reached it. Success.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is. Celebrating my successes. Once I reach that goal, I have a problem of actually like saying, yes, I did it. I get there and I go, okay, next. I don't really relish in success, so therefore I never feel successful because I never take a pause to get there, even though I know that's my barometer for success.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things I would say is you could get all your friends together, put them on a plane and fly them somewhere.
With whose money?
Yeah, that's the thing that gets in the way. You don't celebrate your success because in your head, celebrating costs money and money is my goal that I'm doing to save for
my
future.
Period.
So
yeah,
they
period.
Too get into it. This but I will be happy to go to Pink's with you one day and we can sit out there with, there you go. Done. That would be Done. Less
that's
expensive.
That's a great success story.
That would be really great. People going, just like 90 famous people back there eating hot dogs. Yeah, it's a great little thing.
Babes, what does success mean to you and what does it mean to you?
I think success to me is kind of like what you were saying in terms of just having a goal that you then achieve or attain. I don't think it necessarily has to be, oh, I've made X amount of money, or it's looking at how we do in the world and go, oh, like, you know, Jeff Bezos is super successful or listing people in that world or, you know, the head of the medical department at Cedars-Sinai is super successful. They are successful, but I think that success can be more nuanced. And I think that there are different and personal ways of ranking or living with your success. So for me, I feel successful when I
do your eyeliner right.
When I do my eyeliner right, I'm like, this was a fucking success. And that was...
I feel you on that. I
and
feel
that was,
you.
That was a big-ass task, and I conquered it. And I feel really successful for the rest of the fucking
my
day.
My sneakers match my outfit. I walk out, right, look in the mirror, right, and I go, I look
success.
Good. Let's do this.
Success. And that is success.
But here's one thing that we're both missing that would change our view of success.
Okay.
We don't have children.
I'm okay with that right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if we had kids mm-hmm. and you're happy where your kids are, you go, fuck all this other shit. My kids are really good. My kids are happy.
But that's that way about our dog.
That's a different level, though. I think that in every single human, there are different milestones that then dictate what success is. So, you know, I don't have kids, but my kids are Isaac Ryan Brown, Michael Michelle Harris, even Kyle Massey. Like, yeah. those are my kids.
Yeah.
So I look at that and be like, I was successful in the job I was given, which was to mentor these kids to a certain position. Why comedy? Did it come from a family member or did it come from trauma?
I don't think... I grew up in the 70s. It was mama's jokes all the time. I was always sitting in the corner somewhere.
As a single... You were a only child.
Only child. Yeah. Only child. My mom worked at the post office. I was home alone from 9 o'clock at night till when I got dressed and fed myself and went to grammar school. So I watched a ton of
TV. He's so old, he calls it grammar school.
Grammar. What do you call it?
Elementary school.
Shut up. Oh, you were bougie. We can only afford grammar school. We can only afford grammar school.
Only the grammar part. Yeah.
So I was just always funny, and I just could not turn that part off.
Was it something?
You said coping?
Was it coping?
I don't think so. I didn't get...
So you're saying you were just born this way.
Yeah
it was me and like goofy. Three other kids that were just the funniest kids in class. And then it would happen in college where there'd be a lecture, and I... You know how black people talk to the audience? I would vocally say things during class that you were like, I'm not the teacher's peer. I'm just a guy. People would laugh and I'd go, oh, I'm funny. Always had comedy albums. It wasn't until I went to New York, one of my classmates at my acting school was a stand-up comic, started following her. And I go, oh, that's how you become a comedian.
What did your mom think of your career?
When I got my first TV show, NBC, called Minor Adjustments, I called home and I called all my friends in Chicago and I said, do me a favor. Do not tell my mom. My mom won't watch the news. She won't read this in the paper. Do not tell her anything. Don't congratulate her. I called a ton of people because we were coming to Chicago to do the upfronts. And so I called my mom and I said, hey, mom, I'm going to be in town, Chicago. Can you come? I'm at this hotel. Can you have lunch? Can you take off from work and have lunch? And she goes, yeah, baby. So she comes and I said, tell me what you want. And she goes, whatever. And so I have room service bring the whole thing. And she goes, baby, this is really nice. And I go, I want you to read something. And it was an article from USA Today. And it was stars to look out for. And hand me that piece of paper. Hand me that piece of paper. And I still remember this sound. If I ever need to cry, I can do this sound. And my mom's reading this and I just hear this.
Aww.
There's tears. Yeah. So.
You were her success.
You were her success.
And then when my mom passed, so many people came to the funeral and they said, oh, that's all she talked about was you.
Aww. Yeah. Rondellian, I'm proud of you for her. You have been such an amazing figure. And staple in so many fucking people's lives, Rondell.
Yeah.
Mine included. You have always been there for me, even when I disappear.
Well, do you remember the conversation? I think I brought this up several times. You told me, if you said we met when you were 14, I go, okay, fine, 15, whatever. But you told me at one point, you said, hey, I just want you to know, when this show is over, we will probably never talk to you.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I'm a 15-year-old, 16-year-old telling me this. And I go, no. This is not going to happen. She goes, yeah, well, it's this thing I do. I just kind of decompartmentalize and I shut people off and I move on to the next thing. And I go, no, not going to happen. I go, so long as I have a phone number and I can call you, and you're like, oh, okay.
Rondell, it is special. You are a special entity in this industry, truly are, which is why I think you continue to work, which is why I think you continue to bring joy to even your mother, to us, and to have watched you. And I'm so happy that you got to share that moment with your mom, because sometimes comedians, they keep going and going and going and going. But to be able to really ground it in that moment, and I thank you for sharing that.
When I die, could you clean the basement out?
I got you, bro. Yeah, you know me. I'm taking all the pictures. Yep. I got you. I know his other career, honey. He got a lot of hats. Oh, babes, your turn.
Do you think that success and happiness are the same things?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. There are people very successful and not happy at all. And there are people who are very happy and no one would consider them. So they'd be just worker bees.
Yeah.
So it's whatever the thing that makes you happy. When I come off the road and I come home and I'm just like, I've only had that in two places, the place I had in New York and my house now. And I come on and it's not a big deal, but it's nice for me and I like it, but I just go, this is my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Rondellian. I love you so much.
Thank you.
I love you. That's all I have to say. Yeah. I want to go back a little bit in time. You brought up a very, very iconic title within your career, Minor Adjustments.
Mm.
You were also on Men Is From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yes.
Wow. His career started before Disney Channel. Let's not forget.
This is true.
And I want to talk to you about your experience being the lead of a show for the very first time.
Number one on the call sheet.
Number one on the call sheet for the very first time. What stress was that for you?
I have something in my life. I am an uninformed idiot. I've been in situations where I've never known the pressure of the situation I'm in, and I like that. And I come across different. I remember when I auditioned at the Improv many, many years ago, and I did 5 minutes of material, and I dressed up in a suit, and Silver Friedman, who owned the club, she looked me up and down, and she said, "I don't know if this is what you wanted or not, but I passed you." I don't know what this means, and I go, "Oh, okay, cool." And I walked away. So I always have this thing of like, oh, he's, you know, you
nonchalant
you,
about
that
it.
You don't see me go, hey,
you're not celebrating your successes.
Because I didn't know what all that meant. So all I knew is during that time, tons of comedians. Ray Romano had just got his show. Drew Carey had just got his show. So those were people, and I had made phone calls to both of them. I said, "Hey, man, we all got shows this year. Let's, you know, hopefully it'll." And I remember Ray Romano going, "I don't know if my show's gonna make it." I go, "Ray, your show is hilarious.
Oh my God.
It's gonna be fun."
Yeah.
Fantastic. So they were given stand-up comic shows.
They were.
And I go, and I was with Thomas, Golden Girls, Blossom, Soap, with, you know, really good stuff. And I go, that was it.
That's interesting. Then you moved on to Men Are From Mars.
Talk show.
How was that experience for you?
Wait, no. In between there was, I went from Minor Adjustments to Cousin Skeeter on Nickelodeon.
Okay, there it is.
That's what it was. So we did Cousin Skeeter for 3 years. Making Good, Robert Richard.
Robert Richard and I did a show together.
Yes.
Did?
We did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was a dead body, and Robert Richard stood over me and said something, and that was it.
We'll send you that.
We will not send you that clip.
I bring that up to Rondell because my question is this. You've had so many successes. A lot of people only see the success that we have from the last 10 years, but our career started way before then.
So then the question is obvious. Why are you single?
I think that the government put out a news bulletin that I think I have.
Because he walks around with a camera all the
time. I have a 10-year... anybody with me can only be with me for 10 years because I'm like milk. It's going to start getting a little sour.
Rondell, hilarious. Yeah. Years is way too long to keep milk. Number one. Number two, you need a different analogy, my friend.
No,
you're like,
no.
Milk is bad after a week.
It's got an expiration date.
You need to rework that one.
I will say that is true. He does have an expiration date when it comes to relationships. Yeah. Why, Rondell? And I won't put this in there. Why, Rondell?
No, I'm not going to put any of my relationships on
blast.
We're not
going to talk about it. Me neither, but I'm going to put this on blast.
Yeah.
I have been a part of your life for a few of your relationships, one in particular.
Named? Gigi. I don't know. Yes.
I can't believe you're going to say his name. I wasn't going to put bad relationships
his
on
name. His name. His name.
Rondell is coming out on Tea Time today.
There's only one penis in my life, and it's my penis. Okay?
Oh, my God. Yes. She doesn't know her pronouns, that's all.
They're so mixed up now, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You do. You run. Or you leave.
He's an only child.
But it's also part of, in order for me to live the life I live, I've got to be on the road.
Yeah.
And that sucks for the other person. It really does.
Okay.
Because they ain't making no money.
So you're doing
it
for
them. If
they
made money, if I was a kept man, oh, I'd be happy.
Let's find you a little sugar mama.
Just what I want. Yeah. 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
She had a really good divorce settlement. Kids are gone. Yeah, we can. Yeah, yeah. I'm ready for that.
Melinda Gates is single.
Somebody once set me up with somebody who was black famous with their ex-wife.
They were famous.
She in a different world. I can't afford that.
But there's a difference, right? There's something about dating famous people that requires...
That's why I can't do Bumble or one of those things. Because it's just, yeah,
It's hard. But we're also different kinds of celebrities. We don't sit out there and put our celebrity first when we step into a room. Mm-hmm. People, ours is kind of like in the back burner. We step into a room, you like us, and then you're like, oh shit, you're... Like, exactly. This,
exactly how I caught her.
There was a woman I was seeing a year ago, and she we were talking. She goes, you know, I Googled you. And she goes, you're, like, invisible on the internet. And I go, yeah. I said, I've had many exes say that. They go, you don't post pictures of us. And I go, I really don't post anything of my personal life on there. I just, don't not that, that I'm embarrassed of you. I go, just don't post that stuff on there.
You're a real human, Rhonda.
Yeah.
And that is proof that you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's toast. Yeah. Today, we are toasting to Augustus Holm.
Ooh, Augustus.
A San Diego teen who got some people together to establish the Youth Philanthropy Council.
Okay, that's also known as YPC.
In 2020, the YPC focused on a footwear drive. Rondell loves sneakers.
Brought me some of my best ones.
That collected and donated 5,000 pairs of shoes to a medical center,
ooh,
Father Joe's Village. Funny, this could be about you, Rondell, considering you love sneakers and you wanted to be a priest.
And also had some medical things.
Yep. An organization dedicating to supporting unhoused people. Again, Rondell.
Rondell.
Oh my gosh.
Unhoused.
And others. This is just, we're toasting all the different lives of Rondell. In 2021, they raised $40,000 for a school built in Kenya.
Damn.
And what is their latest venture?
Yeah.
A Guinness World Record breaking shoe drive that gave away more than 21,600 pairs of shoes to families
amazing.
In need in just 24 hours. Holm has now recently graduated high school. Oh, he's so young.
That was only in middle school.
And is in the works to develop an app, of course, aimed at making it easier for people to navigate
Medicare.
Your favorite app, Medicare.
I guess who I have an appointment with Social Security tomorrow.
Rondell, you made it!
Yeah. Well, I made it a while ago, but it's just...
You guys...
Rondell, how many pairs of shoes do you have? Do you need to donate anything to Augustus Holm?
He's ready for them.
Ooh, maybe. Yeah.
We'll send you the link.
Okay.
Hey, cheers, Augustus. You know, it's very important. We are in a society that is all about buying and collecting and fast fashion. And there is something beautiful and artistic about sneakers, Rondell.
I wear my shoes.
He wears all his shoes. But I know someone who buys a new pair of Chucks every single
week. Oh, there's
week.
A couple coming.
Yeah.
Cat Williams is that.
Oh,
that's in Cat's contract. Not Chucks. It's Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones.
They're in
his
contract.
Black.
Yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
The fact that Augustus is giving away for a plaque, but 21,600 pairs is absolutely amazing. Let's give it up for Augustus.
Yay, Augustus.
Ooh, Augustus. How you tie your shoes, Augustus?
Yeah.
Rondellian.
Yeah.
I love you.
Father Rondellian. We love you so much. Thank you
Daddy
for coming
Rondell.
On.
Thank you.
Want to plug your socials? Tell us where we can see you, find
Instagram,
you.
Instagram, The Rondell Sheridan. If you go to, there's a reason why it's The Rondell Sheridan, because it's some fools that are trying to pretend it's me. Don't go there. Yeah, I swear to God, if I could sneak in someone's house and just slap the crap out of them and walk back home.
That
yeah.
would be
yeah.
Rondell Sheridan.
In your sneakers.
Yeah, yeah. Just.
Are you going on any cruises?
As of November of last year, I am booked until January of 2026.
Holy shit, are you serious? Where are you going?
And everywhere.
Everywhere.
Can you tell us the name of the cruises?
What cruise can we book?
I'm doing a bunch on Princess. Doing a bunch on Princess.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching Tea Time. We'll be back every Thursday for your pleasures.
Yes, we will.
Meow.